Good afternoon. This is probably be the last day we are in this story. No, we could still be in John 5 and sort of continues, but I think this will be the last day, but I can't promise it'll be the last day. And there's one more scripture I wanted to read in that context that's connected and so important. This is again John chapter 5. So after Jesus came to him in verse 14, it says, afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, behold, you have become well or sound. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse may befall you. And the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. And for this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But he answered them and said, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. For this cause, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more now to kill him, not just to persecute him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And the idea equal is that he has, believe he had the same DNA. And Jesus, therefore, answered, was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, now, the language here was saying is that he repeated this to him over and over again. Truly, truly, I say to you, that if the Son can do nothing of himself, unless it is something he sees the Father doing, for whatever Father does, these things the Son does also. So in the end, what Jesus was saying to them, because they wanted to persecute him, because he did this on the Sabbath, and then when he identified himself as having God's nature, oh, by the way, you are partakers of the divine nature. And when he said that, then they wanted to kill him. And so Jesus, his explanation to them, he said, he answered them. He said, here's the thing. I don't do anything on my own initiative, but the Father is at work even now, and so am I. And I only do those things I see the Father doing. In other words, Jesus is saying to them, to these people who, one, never called God Father. They didn't believe you could be intimate with God that way. God was scary. He was a perfectionist, and he was a rule keeper, and he was scary. And so they never used the term Father. That was a shocking thing to them, that Jesus kept using the word Father. But that's part of Christ wanting to reveal the truth about God. Because no man seen God at any time, but Jesus came to reveal him, to explain him. And so he's revealing the fact that he's Father. He's our Father. He's Abba. But Jesus basically said to them, look, your Abba, your Father, is responsible for this. He wasn't throwing God under the bus. He was just saying, you need to understand, this isn't just me doing this. This is the Father who's good that you don't understand who initiated this, because I don't do anything by own initiative. I only do what I see him doing. I just think that's really cool. But the start of the story, it says in verse 1, and after these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. After what things? Well, in chapter 4, the royal servant's son was healed, and then the whole story of the woman at the well. And there are a lot of things here that remind me of the story of the woman at the well that are powerful to me. You know, when I do this, I remember God has to remind me constantly that in my time alone with the Lord, I'm not trying for our daily thing. I'm not trying to come up with a word. The Lord told me months ago, he said, I just want you, Chuck, to just meander through the Gospel of John, and I'm going to reveal to you some things about the love of God. That was just for me. And then in the process of that, the Lord said, now I want you to communicate what I'm revealing to you about the love of God until we get through all this. So that's, again, what we're doing. So there may be some theological issues that you'll be concerned with or other things. I'm not trying to teach through all that. I'm just trying to reveal the things I know about the love of God. Like the issue of why didn't Jesus heal all the other people that were in that situation? It was a multitude of those people. I don't know. And people have had different answers for that. Like one person said that there was a multitude and it caused chaos and Jesus had to walk out, but Jesus would have healed everybody. I don't know. It didn't seem to say that, but I don't know. All I do know is that a lot like the woman at the well, Jesus went out of his way. He went to this feast, but he went out of his way to go to a place for this one man. because he did the things he saw the Father do him. And so it was the Father's heart and priority that this one man doesn't. I'm not trying to say anything else about the others. I don't know the answers. He doesn't give us the answer. Therefore, we shouldn't try to come up with one either, should we? I love that we always try to come up with answers when God's been very intentional about not giving us them. Sometimes we just have to trust when we don't know, right? But here's the thing that the Lord spoke to me, because we're in Advent, and the word Advent means to come. And the point of Advent is celebrating the fact that God did come, and in what a remarkable way in which he came, that he clothed himself in humanity. He made himself a human to come to rescue us, and that he's coming again. And that which he's begun in terms of making all things new will be fully realized and experienced. We're living in the now and the not yet. Jesus has accomplished it all, but it's being unfolded and revealed and unveiled before us as time goes by. That's even true about our own new creation. We're new creations, but we're growing into that, aren't we? Manifesting it more and more as we grow in him. We don't get more, but we grow in manifestation of more. So this is the concept of the grace of God. Advent screams at us. And what Advent screams to us is that we could never get to him. We were so fallen and so broken and so helpless that the only way we could come to him was because he came to us first. I love the verse in the Old Testament says, and if you seek me, I love this, I will let you find me. Now, see, people act like, well, we're going to seek him, and it's going to be because we do all the right things, and we're doing it enough, we fasted enough, prayed enough, read our Bibles enough, and all those things do help you to discover more, to see more, reveal more. But even there, you couldn't find him if he didn't let you, and it's only because we're in Christ. And so it's kind of like he comes to us and gets like a quarter of an inch from us, and he says, now seek me. Just like turn, okay, now you found me. Because it's grace, that's what he does. And it's still true. See, most Christians, again, live with a low-grade fever of believing that God's disappointed in them, don't we? That we didn't do it right enough, we didn't do it enough, we didn't pray enough, we got that part wrong. And yet that's not how he feels at all. He, just think, God became a man, a human, to rescue you. So he could just complain about you all the time? Live disappointed in you all the time? Just like the woman at the well, he knew everything about her and never once expressed disappointment in her. He just said, I want to quench that thirst. I've come to quench that thirst, and you'll never be thirsty again. I love this story because it says when Jesus looked at him, like he goes into this room, there's a multitude of people that are in a really bad place, afflicted, and it says, and Jesus saw this, a certain man. That's the language. Whenever the Holy Spirit says the word certain, there's a certain reason for it. He sees this man, and then it says, and he knew how long he had been in that condition. Like the woman at the well, he knew everything about him. And like the woman at the well, one of the things that Jesus is revealing is what ministered to me so much in my time with the Lord this morning is that, and I don't do this in advance, like I don't go home and study John. This is my prayer time. And so it just comes out of that. And the Lord, I heard the Lord, I saw it again in clarity in the context of Advent. Our God is the God who comes to us. Aren't you grateful? Aren't you grateful that he doesn't live disappointed in you? He woos you. He longs for you. He has a heavenly vision for you to come into all the fullness he paid such a price for. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly in Christ. He came to draw you into a permanent place of nearness in Christ. You can't get any nearer to God the Father than Jesus is. That's who he is. He comes to us. But here's a fascinating thing about this story, like the woman at the well. I read this morning. I thought, wow, Lord, you said it different. You said it different for a reason. When it says in verse 5, and a certain man was there who had been 38 years in his sickness. Now, most of the time when you'll say something about somebody being sick or afflicted, they'll go, they've been sick for 38 years. But it says, and he saw there was this man who was sick, who had been 38 years in his sickness. See, I think about people like this, it's easy to identify with our sickness. It's easy to identify with our brokenness. It's easy to identify with our addictions. Now, I have a real problem with Alcoholics Anonymous getting people. My dad was an alcoholic. He printed up all the booklets for Alcoholics Anonymous. That was one of the things he did for a living. But when they get you to say, I am an alcoholic, I understand the purpose of that, own your stuff. But for a Christian, I'm in Christ. I'm a new creation. And it can be honest and say, I really have a flesh pattern of alcoholism. You with me? But we end up identifying with our affliction. We identify with our brokenness. We identify with our sickness. And if you know the story, remember the story, and this idea of Jesus coming, looking for him, he comes. There are thousands and hundreds of thousands of people at this festival, and yet Jesus comes to this particular place because the Father's looking for this man. And then in verse 13, after Jesus disappears, he comes looking for him again. Because even though his body was well, what Jesus was most concerned about was the condition of his soul. And we talked about this last week. And he said to him, you've been made well. Now sin no more, lest your condition be worse than it was before. And so even though people don't all get sick because of sin, his sickness and his sin was connected. And Jesus wasn't just concerned about his body. He wanted his soul to be healthy. And he came to him to make sure he understood that. I mean, he just keeps coming to us. He never stops, this hound of heaven. And what I love about this story, here was a man who was in his sickness for 38 years. This is how God differentiates the person from the condition. And Jesus came not to minister to the sickness. He dealt with it. He came to touch the person. And whenever we are in front of broken people, when God puts us in front of broken people, like Jesus felt about this guy, it may be filled with a lot of people, but that's the most important person in the world to Jesus. And what he's concerned about is that person, not just their condition. He doesn't want them to be healed physically. He wants their soul to be healed. He came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. You have a better chance of having an abundant life unhealed and yet your soul's in good condition than totally healed and your soul be in terrible condition. You with me? So I just love the fact that the Holy Spirit seems to separate. There was a man who was in his sickness for 38 years. He was living in that. And what Jesus really came after, again, he healed his body, but from the second thing he came to him about not sinning again, what he really came about was going after the person who was living behind all that. When all everybody else could see was his broken body, this man for 38 years, who when Jesus said, do you want to get well, he didn't really answer the question. He basically said, I've done everything I know to do. Nothing's working. I've been here for 38 years. And nobody's here to take me to put me in the water when it ever gets stirred up. Somebody always beats me to it. That was his answer. Because he didn't think he could even get well. So I think he heard Jesus say, what's wrong with you? I know how long you've been here. Like, how come you can't get well? Do you not even want to get well? That's what he heard, I think. And Jesus didn't say that at all. He was wanting to know, do you want your soul to get well? Because I'm here because you're the most important person in the world. That's the way God sees us. And I want you whole. We can deal with the body thing, but do you want to be whole? I just think that's just another stunning description of the nature of our God. Don't you think? Doesn't it make you like want to seek him? Want to know more about him? Doesn't it cause your heart to want to love him more? Because that's who he is. He said, I'm not in a very good place right now, Bishop. Well, you know what's happening then? He's coming and looking for you. He's in pursuit because he cares about the person behind the pain. Not just the pain you feel. He wants to heal the person who's in pain. That's why he came. And he's going to keep pursuing because that's who he is. Oh, but I know he's just disappointed in me. Sorry. He didn't do it that way. It says in Romans that he who believes does not get disappointed. Guess what? He always believes. He believes. Amen. So I promised I wouldn't do it again, but I may end up doing it again like on Wednesday night or more this week because I get blown away at the truth about who God is. that Jesus came to reveal. And it just knocks it out of the park for these Pharisees, these Jews. But what's sad is most Christians have the same kind of Pharisaical attitude and don't seem to have a clue that when God said he's love, doesn't mean he's soft on sin. It means he's come, he hates sin. He doesn't hate Christians or people. He doesn't hate lost people. He hates sin because sin is destroying that which he created in his image. So he comes to set us free from that and to heal us from the consequences of it. That's God who's love. And Christians need to, I really pray for all of us that we'll get a clear vision. You know, what you believe about God, C.S. Lewis said, is the most important thing about you. And what you believe he believes about you is the second most important thing about you. Get those two part things wrong, you're going to struggle all your Christian life, trying to scramble into a place of faith. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Amen.